Okay, good evening, everyone. Bezer Hashem, we are going to continue with the halachos of lich benching, of hadlakas neiros, on Friday night. We said in the last shiur that the Rishonim give us three reasons for the mitzvah of hadlakas neiros. We said in the first shiur that hadlakas neiros is one of the seven mitzvos midrabanan, and we said there are three reasons given, and tonight we're going to discuss the ramifications of those three reasons. Reason number one was Kavod Shabbos, honor for the Shabbos, that the candles bring an aura, a dignity, a splendor, a fancy meal has candles, like by a dinner, by a restaurant, by a wedding, so the Shabbos meal should be no less than that. So candles lend honor to the Shabbos. Reason number two, we said, was Oneg Shabbos, which means to enjoy the Shabbos. It's much more pleasurable to eat in light than to eat in the dark, so you won't spill, you'll be able to pass something to somebody. It's more enjoyable to eat when there's light. And we said reason number three was what we call Shalom Bayis, which we said does not mean the term Shalom Bayis like we use, but it means simply, Rashi explains, that peace in the house, that people will bump into things if it's dark, or people will, you know, trip on things, and they will, or just in general, it's gloomy in the house when it's dark. So we have those three reasons: Kavod Shabbos, Oneg Shabbos, and Shalom Bayis. So if you take these three halachos, these three reasons for hadlakas neiros, where should they be lit? Where should the candles be lit? So for the kavod and the oneg, clearly they belong by the seuda, by the meal. Preferably, this is on the table itself. To give the proper kavod and the oneg to the meal, we have the candles preferably on the table. However, practically speaking, it's often not possible to have the candles on the table. Firstly, it could be a sakana, it could be a danger, especially if there's a small table, or even if there's a big table, but if there's kids around, definitely it's possible to be a danger, or there's inconvenience in regards to moving the candles. The complicated halachos of muksa as far as the candles, as far as the table, and on Shabbos the candles would be muksa, and if a person wants to be able to move them to clear the plastic off, to clear the tablecloth off, those are complicated halachos. So to avoid that, or just stam, there's a small table, not a lot of room, so therefore there are many that light on a side table in the room, preferably in that room and next to the suda. And although it's not on the table itself, but that does add to the aura and the pleasure that the candles give in that room. Next time, Be'ez Hashem, we have to discuss nowadays in regards to the halachos of electricity. That changes a lot of things. Be'ez Hashem, we'll talk about that next time. But on Yontif, it's good to know that the candles are not muksa. You can light them on Yontif, not from a new flame, but you could light candles on Yontif. So therefore, if there's no sakana involved, if there's no danger, perhaps it's better to put it on the table itself. By the night of the Seder, when there's an extra inyan of beautifying the table, because we are kings, it's majesty, so there are those that are also makpid to put it on the table itself by the Seder. But definitely, again, perhaps there's danger involved, especially by the Seder. There are plenty of kids around, and there's lots of things, so it's not a lot of room. But you do find that people are makpid about that on Yontif or by the Seder. For the Shalom Bayis, the Mishnah Berurah says, and you may have figured this out by now, that it's not just by the Seuda. Any room that you will go into and walk around and spend time in should have light because of the reason of Shalom Bayis. Now, our custom is to only light actual candles by the meal. But in the other rooms, a person should have light if they're going to be spending time in that room, in the playroom, in the den, in the kitchen, in the living room. Other rooms, in the hallways, people should have light. If it's a basement or an attic that you're not going to be spending time in, so then you do not need to have any light. But generally speaking, the other places, the Mishnah Berurah says there should be light because of this obligation of candles on Shabbos, on Friday night. In the bedrooms that we don't want to have light, so over there we want it to be dark. Over there there's no requirement. So to provide the safety of not bumping into things and being gloomy, so Rav Moshe Feinstein says it's enough to have light from the hallway or a nearby room, or if you have a closet that has a light, a walk-in closet or any other closet that has a light or a night lamp, then that's enough to find your way around. So then that is sufficient. You don't have to have candles or lights in the room itself. A bathroom should have the lights on. And I know with my kids like to have a night light in their room when they go to sleep. So I turn on the night light before Shabbos. I have in mind that is the mitzvah of hadlakas neiros. I don't make the bracha. We only make a bracha by the candles downstairs. But that is also fulfilling, says the Mishnah Berurah, that is also fulfilling the mitzvah of hadlakas neiros. It's important to know that you can't light in one place and then move it to a good place. Meaning the Rama says that if one place is not kosher to light the candles, let's say you want to light in the sukkah because you want to take pictures in the sukkah, and then you want to bring it into the house where it's going to stay. So in the sukkah, let's say it's going to blow out or it's going to rain, and it's not a kosher place to light the candles, so then you have to light the candles where it is proper to light the candles. We pass in hadlaka isa mitzvah, and this is the Ramah together with the Mishnah Berurah, and so you have to light where it is going to stay, meaning even if someone who is not Makabel Shabbos yet will move it, or it's Yontif, where somewhere it's not Muksa and you're able to move the candles, still, you have to light where the candles are going to remain. If a wife is sick in bed, the husband can't bring her the candles and then move it to the dining room. That's not sufficient. In such halachos, okay, we have to discuss what to do in such a case. But it has to be lit where they are going to remain. Now, there are times where the Kavod Shabbos and the Onik Shabbos are not possible by the Suda. For example, let's say there's no room at all for any of the candles by the table, even off to the side or anything like that. Or if it's in a sukkah with a wind or rain, that they can't be, the candles just simply can't be by the Suda. Or if a person is eating out, if a family is eating out the meal by night, we have to discuss that more at length as far as what to do if a family eats out at night. So how do we light? We light with a bracha. How do we light if there's no Onik Shabbos or if there's no Kavod Shabbos? So the answer is because of reason number three, that we have the Shalom Bayis, assuming that a person will come home and have benefit from the candles. We have to discuss that. But there are different situations where by the meal there will be the Kavod and the Onig Shabbos, and in other rooms you have the Shalom Bayis reason, and by the meal itself, sometimes you're not able to have the Kavod, not able to have the candles by the meal itself, then you will have the Shalom Bayis reason. We mentioned in the first year that the Torah is compared to fire, the Torah and the mitzvahs, and we said one explanation why that is the case. Perhaps tonight we'll say another reason. The Gemara in Chulin Kuf Lamed Zayin also compares somewhat the Torah and learning Gemara, talks about the learning to fire, and the Eitz Yosef over there in the Ein Yaakov, he says an interesting pshat. He says, why is Torah compared to fire? He says, if you take a coal, a lot of time the coal looks like there's no fire inside, but if you stoke the coal, you'll find that deep inside there is fire, and you stoke it and stoke it and stoke it. We discussed these halachos in regards to the halachos of Bishul as far as Shemichata, that a person will stoke the coals, that'll make the fire be raised. And if you stoke the coals, then the fire will come out from in between the coals. And the Torah is a similar idea, that if you stoke it, a lot of people, they think that, you know, I don't have the capacity to learn and I can't remember the halachos and it's too hard, whether it's a man or a woman. But either way, a person could, you know, stoke the coals inside of them and realize that they have the power, they have the ability to learn the Torah, and that the Torah, deep down, everything is included in the Torah. If you stoke the Torah, eventually you'll be able to know anything, not only in regards to Torah and mitzvahs, but the truth is anything else in the world. And I'm sure many of you were by the Yeshiva Ketana of Passaic, the dinner last night, and Rabbi Hirth mentioned actually a similar idea, that everything is included in the Torah. Everything is found in the Torah. He said some famous stories about the Chazon Ish, that he was able to tell a brain surgeon what to do based on the Torah, just from his knowledge in Torah. And I'll just tell you one amazing story that I know for a fact is true. There's a big mekubel in Eretz Yisrael. His name is Rabbi Gamliel Rabinovich, and it could be some of you have heard of him. He's a famous mekubel in Eretz Yisrael, and my uncles are very close to him. And my cousin, this story happened with my cousin who was there, and I spoke to my cousin's best friend who was also there at the time, and they both told me the following story, what happened, and this could only happen to someone who's so connected to the Torah. My cousin had a few friends that needed a bracha for a shidduch. There were a bunch of boys that needed a bracha for shidduchim. They were having trouble getting married, and he wanted to write their names on a piece of paper, you know, so-and-so, Ben, so-and-so, and get a bracha from Rabbi Gamliel for a shidduch for these friends. Also, my cousin's friend had a brother-in-law that was married for many years that did not have any children. So he needed a bracha for children. So he was married, but he needed a bracha for children. So he also wrote his name on a different list and went to Rabbi Gamliel for a bracha. Rabbi Gamliel was looking at the list of the boys that needed a shidduch, and he looks at one of the names of the boys, so-and-so, Ben, somebody else, and he looks at one of the boys and he says, I could see from the name that this person doesn't need a shidduch. So my cousin said, what do you mean? No, he wants a bracha for a shidduch. He says, no, he doesn't need a shidduch. So like, what's my cousin supposed to tell this boy? That no, this big mekubel said this is not in, you know, not in the cards for you. You don't need a shidduch. You fulfill your tachlis without getting married. So he went around him to look over his shoulder to see which name he's pointing to. And he realized that by mistake, he put the name of the married person, the name of his friend's brother-in-law that was already married, that needed a bracha for children. By mistake, he put his name on the list of the boys that needed a shidduch. And just by looking at the name, Rabbi Gamliel was able to tell that this person doesn't need a shidduch. And the reason was because Yitaka was already married. And someone who reaches such high, high levels of kedusha and tara in the Torah, everything is at their fingertips, and sometimes it just needs to be stoked, and we all have that ability. And as we approach Shavuos is right around the corner, it's important to know going into Kabbalah Satayra, Matan Tayra, that we all have that ability inside of us, and it's just a matter of pushing ourselves sometimes. And Be'ez Hashem, Hashem will see that if we give that effort, Hashem will give us extra Siyat Nishmaya. Okay, everybody should have a good night.